So if you open your Bible to 1 Timothy 2, now I hope you praise God this week that, well, let me just say in the last bunch of hours, that as last night, you know, Brother Mark was in a serious car wreck. And here he is today serving coffee at church.
Amen.
So don't poke him, tickle him, or anything, because he's very sore. And if you see his car, you'll know why he's sore. It wasn't a fender bender as I thought it was when I first heard of it. And so we thank God for his protection. And thank you for choosing to be here today. And so we'll jump in and continue in the series, Generous Spirit. Because we got to remember, generosity started with our Father, God. God is a generous God. And for this reason, a believer should have a spirit that loves to give. As we talked about, giving isn't about money, but to bless others with God has blessed you. It's to bless others with how God has blessed you. You know, generosity requires no payback and recognition. We walked through all this in the last 4 weeks, remembering that in giving, in biblical giving, in giving as God tells us to give, it's not a matter of expecting back from the person. It's not expecting on getting our name on a wall somewhere or pats and kudos on the back. But it's about moving as God moves us. It's having a desire to love, to serve, and to move that is motivated by our walk with Christ. You remember the three specific ways we discussed so far in giving? Shout one out if you do. Good. Serving others. Good. Serving with excellence, seeking ways that we can serve the unservable. Everybody remember one of the other two?
Financial.
We haven't got there yet.
No.
But it was a good try. How about the gift of hope? We spoke about giving hope, living out and sharing the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And then last week, we spoke about instilling courage. About seeking every opportunity to provoke one another to love and good works. And today, continuing with being generous is a subject that seems so simple to us. But it's one of the most vital areas we need to be generous. Generosity in this area will affect how generous you are in all other areas. How generous we are in sharing hope depends on this area. How well we serve depends on this area. How you encourage others depends on this area. In November of 2015, almost 9 years ago in November, we had a very active member in our church family suddenly start having health issues and required being life-flighted. And from there, ended up in an induced coma. By the time I arrived, I'll never forget the scariest hospital room I think I've ever walked into, and I've been to a bunch. I've seen them pull skin off the head of some of my teenagers and stuff like that. But when I walked into this room, it was one completely white room with more machines than I've ever seen in one room. It is what you see on NASA movies. A pipe was coming out of this person's neck to bypass the blood from his heart, and he laid still for weeks. In the waiting room was his sweet wife, who was in the hospital almost the whole time he was in. He had to convince her to go home and get some rest, clean up. She didn't know what was going on because there wasn't many answers. She was having to make decisions that she never prepared to make. And one of the days the doctor said, tomorrow, we're going to have to make some very hard decisions. And we knew exactly what that meant. You know what this couple needed from us? Her. Money helps. Nice gifts. Food for travel, for expenses. But the money's limited on what it can do. Encouragement, yeah. But in times like this, there's only so much we can say. I visited many times the hospital. It was only months after I had gotten here. Got here in the middle of May. This happened in November. Visited many times, and there's not a whole lot I could say. Let me just remind you, in times like this, the greatest, sometimes hugs are better than any word you can say. But again, those things are temporary. We can share hope, yes, we can encourage them with God's promises. But the most important thing we could do is pray. Intimate prayers. They needed us at that time to carry them to the comforter. They needed us to carry them to the answer that doctors don't have. They needed us to carry them to the healer. And FBC did just that. We prayed some more. Finally, I don't know exactly how long later it was, Jerry woke up. But that was only the beginning of the fight. Because they needed more and more prayers. Jerry had to learn how to drink and to eat again. I remember having to go in and visit him, not having to, but I got to go visit him, and he had to drink water that had a chemical in it that turned it into snot. I said, looks tasty. No, don't share it. But he had to learn it slowly. He had to learn to start moving his fingers and his arms and his legs all slowly. And he was so frustrated until things started to click. And one day the doctor came in and said, let's see your movement. He looks at the doctor. You have to ask him for the story. Because he looks at the doctor and he said, you mean like this? And shocked the snot out of the doctor. You know, Jerry, the fight was still going for Renee as she continued to encourage Jerry, nurse him, care for him, to keep Jerry out of trouble, and that's tough. But see, there was a day they made a vow, for better, for worse. And this was one of those worst times, and they needed us. God used the hospital stints for his own glory. Now we don't know all the ways, and so often we're like, God, why would you let that happen to your servant? To your people. But God used that hospital stint as they share of opportunities to have the witness, to speak of Jesus, to meet other believers. God used this trial for his glory. And since that's what they desired, it was for their good. See that all things work together for good, for those who love God and call according to his purpose. Yes. We have others in our church whom we've prayed for. Some are gone now. Some are here today. Other stories of God saving them. Some did not receive the physical healing that we desire. And still struggle, and we still pray. But what we don't know is what God did protect them from. What God did keep them from. And we do not know all the ways that God is using their situation, their trials, their health. But remember that our prayer to God should not be God do, because we're not the master. Our prayer to God should be, thy will be done. Our desire is that God be glorified through us. Use the situation, just work on our heart so that we know how. As we talk today about the importance of praying for one another, I think somebody was praying for Mark this week. As we so often easily undervalue prayer as a church thing, as a mealtime thing, or that the pastor's prayer is more potent, the truth is we're all called to prayer. If you are a child of God, you have access to his throne. If we really believed in the power of prayer, we would spend a whole lot more time praying. When we drive, turn off the radio and just pray. Oh, we're at work, instead of complaining, pray. When we're watching TV, maybe we can turn that off and pray. Why? Because I believe the power of prayer is more powerful than watching something else. Do we really mean it? If we pray that much, and we pray that Scripture says without ceasing, we'd probably stop doing some of what we do. And we would start praying, "Thy will be done," before we act. Often we wouldn't have to pray, "God, fix my mistake." But amen or no?
Amen.
If we really believed in the power of prayer, we'd spend more time praying for our family. It wouldn't be those forced times, "Oh no, we don't know how to chew food without praying. I better pray." But it's, "Lord, I get to pray with my family. I get to thank God for my food now. I have bread time. I get to thank Him for a great day. When I wake up, I get to pray for that day that He would use it. And every decision I get to make, pray. When I'm going to discipline my kid, I pray with him after or before. How about praises? Don't hide the praises from your kids. Something great happens, tell them, "Hey, so-and-so blessed us. So-and-so did this. God sent this to us by this. God healed." God, praise with your family. And really believe in the power of prayer. If we pray for those we love more and more often. And you love your church family, pray for them. Pray for other believers. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for missionaries. Not just when there's a need. We don't have to be told to someone to need to pray for them, do we? Don't wait for needs. Pray for them. Their name don't need to be in the bulletin. We're happy to put them there. I'm saying, think of who you can pray for. And when we start letting the Spirit move us and our eyes be opened by the Spirit, our prayers go from rub-a-dub-dub to some deep, intimate time. Pray for health, safety. Pray for marriages that are under attack all the time, for families, for spiritual growth. Pray for strength over temptation. If you pray in the name of Jesus, He accepts all your prayers. If we really believe in the power of prayer, we pray more for those we don't like. We pray for more of those that we hate or are bitter at. And you know what happens when we start praying for them? We move them to our love list because we love them enough to pray for them. Realize, I say all this so far and I have not quoted one passage. We've not read one passage, I should say. And yet, from what I've said, probably most of us could say amen, couldn't we?
Yeah.
We know it's true. Because we know that God commands prayer.
Yeah.
He teaches prayer. He exemplifies prayer in His person as Jesus. We all know that we should be doing it more. We all know we have access to an omnipotent God through Jesus Christ. So let's use that access and pray for one another. Don't ever say passively, "I'll pray for you," if you're not actually going to pray for them. Don't use God's name in vain to make yourself sound spiritual. Or because you don't know what else to say. If you're going to say that you're going to pray for them, pray. If you don't say you're going to pray for them, pray. That's the access we have. So 1 Timothy 2, in chapter 1, I'm sorry, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul gives some instruction to young Pastor Timothy that was supposed to be given to the church. And let us be challenged by these verses. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the access that we have to your throne. I ask that you put your hand upon each one of us, and that we'd be woken up to the privilege we have to approach your throne. That we'd honor you by carrying one another to your throne. But I ask that your word would speak today, that your spirit would work, Lord, that you give me the words to say, and that we take seriously what you have for us. And in your Son Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I think we could agree in this passage that we just read that prayer is a priority. You catch that? Prayer is a priority, isn't it? That's the first thing we see. Prayer is a priority. In verse 1, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all. You see priority right here. Mamas, you know you've looked at your kids with that serious look, said the first thing I want you to do. Before anything else you touch, you best get that done. Am I right, mamas? You see, here he says that first of all, you want to know why we start our service out with prayer? You want to know why we start our business meetings out with prayer? You know why the deacons met down there and prayed today before Sunday school started? Why the trustees start our meetings out with prayer? Why the men gather the third Sunday of every month back in here to pray for our church? When women get together, their meetings have prayer, is because we're told, first of all, before anything else you do, pray. Pray. Before you make that decision to buy a new house, pray. Before you go buy that car, you pray. Before you change that channel, pray. Why? In all things, by prayer. Right? But we have access to the throne. Let us pray continuously. The sad thing is, you know what happens when we call a special prayer meeting? It's the smallest group we ever had. Been a little while since we've done it. Maybe we'll do it again. But when we did it, those that were here know. They can attest. Smallest thing. Didn't have many people come to prayer meetings. You know why? The answer to things like, well, that's kind of awkward. I can pray at home. You know what? It's awkward to watch each other chew food. We like a good church social, don't we? I can eat at home, but many of y'all like grassroots, don't you? Sounds like a cop-out, don't it? You see, the power of prayer, if we really believe it, it's when we want to be unified and pray together.
Amen.
We need to make prayer a priority. Quit being shy about it. We have the privilege to talk to the Father, the one we can call Abba, known as Daddy. We need to make prayer a normal part of our relationships. The pastor should not be the only one to go to your house and pray. Show up in your hospital bed and pray. I appreciate the deacons that come and do that. And some others in the church that will do that. If you're a child of God, through Jesus Christ, you place faith in him, you have the same access to the throne as any pastor, missionary, evangelist. You have as much access to the throne of God as Billy Graham, or you name off whoever you want. Quit being shy to approach the throne. Dads, pray for the family. Pray with the family. Gather them. Pause everything else for prayer. Hubbies, pray for your wives. Did you know praying together a lot of times will work out all those problems you're having? Because humble yourself to the one that created you in the first place? Wives, pray for your hubbies. Kids, pray for your parents. Ask your family to take time to pray. Sometimes kids might notice we're in the wall. Kids, wake your parents up. They might get busy. But pray together. Church, let's not just talk about our problems, praises, our needs, our frustrations. Let's pray about them. Is that making it a priority? Is that putting it first? Power is not in your conversation. You know what's happening. Right? Do you know prayer is not even in your prayer? Power is not in your prayer. Power is the one you pray to. If you ain't praying in the name of Jesus, you're just making noise. The scripture tells us he's our only way to God. When you access the power of Jesus Christ through prayer, understand the power that you are accessing. You are approaching the power of the resurrection. You're approaching the power of the one that raised dead to life again. You're approaching the one that fed 20,000 people with a little happy meal of a young boy. You're approaching the one that can heal sickness, maimed, and cleanse the lepers. You're approaching the one that created the universe with his voice. That's the power we have access to through prayer. Are we shy about it? When we pray, we access the power that can heal and convert hearts. So first of all, prayer is the priority. Second thing we see here, pray in every way. Pray in every way. In English, we often generalize and use the word prayer. Prayer. But look what Paul said in verse 1. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. See, listen. Touches all areas of life. Take it to the God. Trust God in every situation. Supplications means to be without. Take your needs to God. The word prayer, it's just a word talking about that sacred and intimate conversation with God. You understand that prayer is intimate, right? Prayer is personal between me and I get to approach the Holy One. And I get to voice to him more than just complaints and problems. I get to talk to him about football. By the way, Thursday the Chiefs play. Some of y'all heard from Sunday school. Some of y'all. So I'm talking to God about that already. But you know, God wants to hear about everything. God wants a relationship with us. It's that intimacy we can have with God. He says, I want you to do that. It's that serious sit down or kneel down time with God to pour out your heart and enjoy the relationship with him. Then he says the word intercessions. That means to come between. That's the petition for. That means I partner with you to carry your need to the Father. That's why we share requests here at church. Because we are family. We cry together. We celebrate together. And he goes on. What's one more? And the giving of thanks. It can so often go unrecognized, but the goodness of God and the way he blesses our lives. His provision, the answered prayer, his protection, his salvation, his word, his promises. We can go on things to be thankful for. Thanksgiving's coming pretty quick, so we'll be talking about it. How often we just stopped up? Thank you for my wife. Sometimes the problem in our marriage is because we forget what we're thankful for. Thank you for my kids. Remember, your kids are brats. You're raising them. Thank you for my church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Could we go on and on and on? And it's as we start talking and breaking those things down. Why am I thankful for my wife? Why am I thankful for my kids? That's what God wants. And I can give thanks to him. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's God want for you? You to recognize his goodness. Take time to give thanks. See, our priority is to pray in every way. But also, the third thing we see is to pray for everyone. Too often our prayers for our own needs, our wants, our hurts, we forget to pray until the car breaks down. We forget to pray until somebody gets sick. We forget to pray until, you with me? It's very easy to remember prayer in those times. Or maybe I'll remember my friends and loved ones, but in verse 1, halfway through, it says, be made for all men. All men. It seems to be a no-brainer. Our prayers should be spread all out. Remember, generosity in blessing someone is to bless somebody with what you have been blessed with. Has God blessed you with access to his throne, to his mercy seat? Has God blessed you with that? So bless others with that. You're to bless others. But sometimes we still limit our prayers. Do you see there? Pray for everyone. Is that easy? Not if you look at the next verse. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority. Let that sink in a little bit. Do we complain more about our leaders, representatives, whatever, than we humbly and lovingly pray for them? We know the mistakes and the sinful ways of our leaders and representatives. We know what we'd like to say to them face to face, right? We practice on each other. We know what we'd like to do to them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. But do we sincerely cry out for their salvation and repentance? When's the last time you pleaded with God for the salvation of Biden, Kamala, and Donald Trump? Because we could probably easily name when the last time I complained about them. But when's the last time I sincerely got on my knees and said, Lord, send somebody to them that can make clear to them, give them a soft heart? You know what God wants? Look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If God wants all men to be saved, I should want all men, even politicians, to be saved.
Amen.
To be honest, it's a little convicting. Anybody else? Because there's more righteous people in here than me, I'm telling you that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I should be praying more than I am complaining. I should be humble to lift them up. You've got to change their heart. If God wants them to know the truth, that's his word, I should pray they come to know and accept the truth. Our problem with our country is that we have departed truth and gone to philosophy. Well, how do you feel about it? I don't care how you feel about it. How does my God feel about it? Does it honor my God? Well, they don't care about that because they don't know the truth. What does my prayer need to be? God, save their hearts. Save their souls. Prayer should be, God, send someone to them. Let them accept the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your word. See, that's us calling an omnipotent one to touch their hearts,
rather than sitting and complaining about it.
See, we can pray this way for those we never met. How much more should we pray for those God has placed in our own houses? How about in this house of worship? Look around the room. No, really, you can turn your heads and look. And even the child looking around, who have I not prayed for in a long time? And some of us would say, you know, I've never really stopped and looked, pictured this place and just prayed for people. Well, good, right now with the challenge. Mentally, when you're at home, or you want in here, you can come in here and walk through here and pray because you know where people sit. And kind of brings people to mind and pray for their life. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know why their marriage is hurting. You don't know what their kids are going through. You don't know how work is going, how they are financially. You know who does? The only one that has power to fix it. The only one that has power to heal it. And so that's who we're to carry him to. Our priority is to pray in every way and for everyone. And the last thing here is prayer is personal. The praying person matters. Not everyone has the effective prayer that we desire.
Well, that's what you say. Everybody can pray. No? No. Everybody can start by calling out for salvation. Right. But for an intimate prayer to touch the heart of God, it's not everyone. You must be in Christ. Only in Christ can you pray through Christ and carry the name of Jesus in his authority.
Verse 5 tells us, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. And without a relationship with that Christ Jesus, you don't have a mediator to carry you to God. There's only one worth praying to. And it is the one that brings us to God, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, God in the flesh. If you've been saved and placed faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us access to the throne of grace. It's that beautiful picture of when he died on the cross. Remember, a temple crumbled, and a big divider to divide the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, where no man could enter. That wall, that separation, that curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. And he said, now, with the death of Christ, you can access God. Amen.
Is that a privilege? Amen. Do we take that privilege? Do we appreciate that privilege?
It's a beautiful thing that God has done for us. And he allows us to approach his throne. Look at verse 8. Here's where it gets personal. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. We're to pray everywhere. We don't need to wait until we get to church. You don't need to wait to get to church to pray. When you get to church, you're continuing your prayer. Because Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing. I have a consistent walk and talk with God. He's not my Sunday part of life. He is my life. Not because I'm pastor, because I'm his child. Simply continue our prayers for our church. Look, here's how he wants us to be when we pray. Verse 8, lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. We're Baptists. We're kind of scared of this. I've done it before. Everybody raise your hand. It's rapture practice, see? You can do it. It's not that hard. We're scared of it. Don't go crazy now. That's charismatic. There we go. No. The Jews had a custom of praying with their hands up. Not like this, but like this. It's a picture of empty hands and availability. My prayer to God is, God, my hands are empty for whatever you want to place in. You want to place a sword for you to go to war for you? I will. You want to pray, place a disease for me to represent you? I will. You want to place a bunch of money for your glory? I will. If you want to make me go broke for your glory? I will. Are we available to God? Do we lift up our hands? It doesn't have to be physical, but our heart in submission to him. The and say, God, use me. My hands are empty for whatever you placed in. It's about us submitting to his will. Want to be a prayer warrior? You need to come with holy hands. Holy hands is a life forgiven by Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes us holy. It's a call for a sincere heart that wants to honor God. It's one that lives in the world like he lives at church. It's one that doesn't use different language at work than he does at church. It's one that doesn't use different words in the garage when he's mad than he does at church when pastor's preaching. It's one that doesn't have a different attitude towards his wife at home than he does at church. Yeah? It's one that is holy, that's not been stuck on himself, but has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's holy hands. And he says, what does that holy hands, what does the blood of Jesus wash off? He names off two things, wrath and doubting. Wrath. The more we grow in Christ and he works in our heart, he gets rid of the anger. He says, don't come to me with anger and vindictiveness. Don't have your prayer. Don't need to be God killing. He called me a dirty word. Right? Don't come with anger. Remember, Jesus had every right to be mad. They beat him, they spit on him, they called him names. They pinned him to a piece of wood with his back shred right open. God, forgive them. Don't come to him with anger. Don't want paybacks. In James 1:20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. No, you don't understand. I just have an anger issue. Well, you need to turn that anger over to the Lord. Yeah? When I'm mad, I don't reflect the love of Jesus. When I'm angry, I don't desire the will of God. The words that come out in anger usually are not God-honoring words. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So don't let wrath and bitterness settle into your life. Give the same forgiveness you receive. Pray and pray. But he says, it washes off wrath and what? Doubting. Is God powerful enough to fix, heal, and provide? Is God loving enough to listen? Are you praying for his will to be done? Well, then let's trust him to use the situation. I really know that God is doing this for a purpose rather than sit around and complain and whine about what he's doing. That will be done, Lord. Use me. What did Isaiah say? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Lord, if I'm the one you chose. See, the more we get to know God through his word, the more we're going to trust his heart. The more we'll trust his ways. And I've shared many times, and I'll share many more times, when my brother got his heart disease that finally took him. He quoted over and over and over, when you don't understand God's method, you trust his heart. Sometimes in the midst of trials, we just got to hold our hands up and say, oh yeah, I gave you my empty hands to fill whatever you wanted to put in them. Lord, now I want to honor you with what you placed in. So let's not be doubtful that God is at work. Let's humble ourselves to him. Say, praise God. When we pray with holy hands, we let him wash away the wrath and the doubting from our hearts. Here's the promise. Here is a promise in James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The serious prayer of a man with holy hands goes right to the heart of God.
our desire is to honor God. We're willing to confess our sins, our faults, and pray for one another, God hears. God responds. And God uses every situation for His glory and for our good. Will you set a time aside to pray? To start being generous in prayer. We need prayer warriors in this church. We need prayer warriors in this church that don't need to be heard, don't need to be seen, don't need to be talked about, but you are praying for one another. That you're setting a time aside to go through the church praying for one another. I beg for your prayers upon me and my family. For wisdom, for my walk with Christ. And if you don't want my prayers, too bad, I'm praying for you anyway. Saying that's what we need. We need to pray for one another, lift each other up to the throne. We can start right here today at the altar. As we're about to have a time of invitation. You don't have to wait until you get home. You don't have to wait until a different time. If God's worked on your heart right now, wait and wait. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Would you stand with me then?